All right, all right. Well, good morning, Kairos Church. I, as you can tell, I am not here today, but I'm so glad that you chose to join us, to worship with us, whether you are in person or online today. Man, thank you for joining us. We already have had an amazing time, I'm sure. I hope you're enjoying your coffee and donuts, and we have some cool stuff taking place afterwards with Trunk or Treat. So let me kind of tell you what's going on and the reason that you're seeing me on the screen and not live in person. So this week, we had to call an audible. Now, I'm not one to talk about sports a whole lot, but this is kind of a sports term, right, where you got to call an audible, where you have one plan in place, and some things take place. You begin to see something, that's happening, and you got to say, you know what? That plan is not going to work. We got to go a different route. And so what had happened is that me and my family, we had direct exposure to someone who tested positive for COVID. And so because of all that, we decided, you know what? We're not going to shut down the weekend because really it just involved us and a few other people that we were able to, check and see that they were also in contact, and we've removed them. But it has directly impacted my entire family. So we said, you know what? We want to keep going with this weekend, but we're not going to be able to go through with the plans that we had before. So we called this audible. Man, we knew that, man, people were coming for the first time. If it's your first time, so, man, I'm so glad that you're here with us. Welcome. Please know that you are a VIP. I hope that you're enjoying our experience already. And know that I don't typically preach from a screen every single week. I will be live in person, but I am quarantined for the next 2 weeks. So the next two Sundays, you will see me on the screen, or maybe I'll call an audible and have one of my guys from my teaching team come and preach. We don't know about that yet. We just got through this weekend, but we didn't want to cancel. We wanted to make sure that we still, man, got to worship together, be in community together, and of course, have our Trunk or Treat event going on afterwards. So that's what's taking place. That's why you're seeing me on the screen and not in person. So we're continuing our series, Seasons. And we've been talking, man, just through different things that go on in our lives. We've been talking through the life of Joseph. And today, as we continue, today I want to talk about discernment and decisions. Discernment and decisions. I think we've been faced with a lot of different decisions throughout this year that we would have never faced before in our lives. And even for us during this weekend, man, where are the decisions that we had to make regarding church, regarding Trunk or Treat, regarding me video preaching? And a lot of those decisions affected a lot of different people and a lot of different aspects of what we do every single week. Now, as you make decisions, any decision there should be many voices that you're seeking counsel and you're trying to get help with them. And there could be other people weighing in and giving you their opinions. And, you know, as you make decisions, you want to try to do what's right by everyone, right? You want to make sure that you're taking others into consideration. And I think one of the biggest things, especially as it relates to this weekend, but I think in a lot of areas of our life, I don't want to ever give the enemy any satisfaction, right? Because, you know, some things take place and you can see it as an obstacle, but man, I say we look at it always as an opportunity. And so that's what we did. You know what? This is an obstacle. Well, let's turn it into an opportunity. And so you have to make some tough decisions sometimes. And oftentimes it causes you to miss out on things. And maybe you have to cancel a few things. And we did that. We had to cancel a few events. The teens had an awesome event going on this Saturday. We had to cancel that due to those that were exposed. We had to ask multiple families not to show up because they were exposed. We, man, had to kind of change how we were going to do Trunk or Treat because of who was leading it. And there were some people that were going to decorate their trunk and they couldn't. And they were tough decisions that not only affected us, but affected others. And sometimes it stinks, right? It's a bummer. My kids, man, what a horrible time for this, right? They were all excited about, you know, Halloween and dressing up and, you know, going out and getting candy. You know, I know that kind of looks different in, you know, in the season of COVID as well, but they were bummed out that they had to miss church. They love coming to church with us, just like we were, but they were bummed out that they had to miss Trunk or Treat as well. But we had to make the tough decision to say, you know what, because of what took place, because we want to be considerate of others, we are going to remove ourselves from this and be protective of those as well. And so what we decided is we're going to do some fun Halloween things. I had this brilliant idea to go play badminton in our front yard in our Halloween costumes. And we're doing some other things, like we're decorating doors, and we're going to go in our house. We're going to go door to door trunk or treating and throw candy at each other. And it's going to be great. So those are some of the things. But sometimes you have to make tough decisions. Sometimes decisions made by you, or maybe even decisions that are made by God for you, they'll be difficult. They'll be uncomfortable, and it'll be for a time being. It'll be for a while, maybe a short time, maybe a long time. But in the end, and here's what we believe, that God will be given glory. So here's the truth. God can use our decisions, right decisions, and maybe even sometimes our wrong decisions to teach us, to grow us, and ultimately to bring him glory. Now, as I said, in our decision-making process, all of our decisions that we make, we always want to bring other people in, right? We should be seeking wise counsel. We should be seeking those who have gone before us, who have maybe had to make some decisions on this level like we had. And as we do that, as we seek other people's counsel, what we are able to do is get a new perspective, right? You gain a different perspective. You gain a new understanding. As you seek out what other people have been through or what they're feeling about it, you begin to gain a deeper compassion and sympathy for others. And so I want to give a shout out to first my church staff. It was late Thursday night and Friday morning as we kind of just went into this decision-making mode that's going to change everything. And then all of my staff weighed in, gave valuable input, and we had to make decisions that would be best for everyone. We had to make the decision of whether or not to have church if there were going to be enough people to make church happen. So I just want to say, man, thank you so much to my staff. I don't know if you guys know this or believe this, but they work tirelessly. Man, just about all of them are volunteers, and man, I'm so thankful for them. So I have my staff that I sought counsel on this decision, other pastors that, you know, have gone before me and are going through this. I have friends that I'm able to talk to and just communicate with about all this, what they think. Again, there's a different perspective, a different understanding, a different viewpoint, and those are always helpful. I want to give a shout out to one of my friends, my boy Varney. We've been talking a lot just through this entire year, through all the different seasons that are going on, and we were talking the other day, and one of the things I told him is I appreciate that he has a much different perspective than I do. And it's in those things, knowing that he's not alone in that. There are other people that share the same views as he does, the same perspective as he does, and maybe I don't see it the same way, or I didn't go through certain circumstances that would help me see it that way, but he does. And so I appreciate him, and I appreciate friends like that who bring a different perspective to help me see things from a different viewpoint. That way, I can make decisions that aren't just benefiting me, but that are also benefiting others. Now, as we do that, and in the current climate, here's the thing, guys. It is so beneficial to be able to have these conversations with other people that have different views and different perspectives and different understandings. And what it allows us to do, it allows us to speak into their perspective. It allows them to speak into ours. It allows us, to kind of just reciprocate and to, man, kind of have this unity and this understanding. And we want to always make sure that as we're making decisions that we are doing that. Now, here's what I want to say. And this is like the biggest truth of the day. In my opinion, there is only one belief or one viewpoint that is non-negotiable. You ready for it? And that is this, that Jesus is King. That Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the only way to God the Father into heaven. Do you believe that? Man, let me hear you say amen. If you're online, type amen. Do you believe that Jesus is King, is Lord, and the only way to God into heaven? That's the non-negotiable. That's the one thing that we've got to come to unity on. And if we can agree on that one thing, if we can keep him at the center, no matter what else we disagree on, we can make sure that we are making decisions that are based off of our life that we are trying to live for him with Jesus in mind. Now, here's the truth. Our decisions that best honor God, they will always factor in spiritual well-being, the emotional well-being, and the physical well-being of others. So as you make decisions, as you go throughout your week and making decisions for your family and for your kids and even for others, if you're leading in any capacity, make sure that you're considering and factoring in the spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being of others. And that's the case, because as leaders, whether you're a teacher or a parent, a stay-at-home mom or dad, maybe you're an older sibling, or maybe you run a company, you're a boss. Listen, as a leader, know this, that you are a leader in some capacity in your life. And as a leader, sometimes we have to make decisions that benefit others more than it benefits ourselves. I want to read to you Philippians verses 2:1-4. This is the Message version. Here's what it says. So it should be up on the screen. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. You ready for this? Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. And see, as we make decisions, we've got to make sure that we're factoring in how it is going to affect other people. Philippians 2:3 says in another version that we got to consider ourselves or consider others more important than ourselves. That's what we're going to talk about today, making decisions. We're going to look at Joseph's life and how decisions factored into what took place in his life. But before we do that, I want to pray. So pray with me. God, thank you for today. Thank you for, man, just the people that you put around my life, man, the support, the community, the church community that we have that come together that make your church. God, I thank you for technology that, man, even in the midst of all of this mess, we are still able to meet, whether in person or online, and worship you and learn and grow in you. Be with us today, man, through your word, through the story of Joseph and his family. Challenge us, grow us, change us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at Joseph's story. I've kind of laid that out. It's a big story in Genesis. It takes place from Genesis 37 all the way, I believe, to chapter 50. So there's a lot that takes place in there. If you missed any of it, I'm not going to recap any of that. If you don't know Joseph's story, you may miss some key stuff. I'm going to try to kind of lay it in there. But I would encourage you, man, go read Joseph's story. And if you want to get caught up to where we're at today and in our series, go back and watch online. You can watch on YouTube or on Facebook, or you can go and watch on our website. So Joseph's story, there were so many decisions that were made that affected Joseph, his family, where Joseph was and God's plan for him. So, but it all starts with, you know, not just Joseph's decisions, but other people's decisions. So Jacob made a decision and in Genesis 37:3, Jacob made a decision to love Joseph more than his other sons. And we know that decision had this effect on Joseph's brothers. Joseph makes this decision to kind of share these dreams that he has with his brothers. And he says, Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers. And this was a dream. It was like, hey, you guys are going to be bowing down to me. And he made this decision. Not the best decision. From there, Joseph's brothers made a decision. And it says this in verse 20, to kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And man, from these other decisions that were made by Jacob and by Joseph, these brothers want to throw him in the pit. And then Reuben, one of Joseph's brothers in verse 21, when Reuben heard this, he tried to save Joseph from them. And he said, let's not take his life. And so in this moment, Reuben makes the decision to stand up to his brother, to try to save his life. His plan was to have Joseph, you know, tossed in the pit and he would come back later and he would help him out. But then the oldest of all the brothers, Judah, right? The one that should be looking out for everybody else, this leader, he makes this decision and says, you know what? Let's sell Joseph into slavery. And see, these decisions throughout Joseph's life, and that was just in the first chapter. That was in chapter 37. But these decisions all set in motion what was going to take place in the years to come. And decisions like this continued to happen in Joseph's life. And ultimately, those decisions led Joseph to Egypt, to Pharaoh, to being second in charge of Egypt and really helping save many people through getting out this grain to people. But decisions, man, they affect so much. And I think oftentimes we don't realize how much weight our decisions carry. Now, some decisions, like I said, in this story were good. They were good decisions. Others, not so much. But in the end, God ultimately used the bad decisions to teach and grow some people, and the good decisions to lead to his glory. Now, Judah kind of becomes a key player in all of this. I told you about the decision that he made to sell his brother into slavery. And he had to live with that decision for 22 years. Just a quick side note, in the middle of all of this, there's a quick side story with Judah. And he continues to make some bad decisions. I encourage you to go check that out. It's Genesis 39. But anyway, he had to live with that. And in those 22 years, Judah, he learned and he grew from the mistakes, from the bad decisions that he made. And it allowed him to make better decisions when the time came. And so we fast forward, like Joseph gets sold into slavery. He gets put in prison. He tells Pharaoh his dreams. He becomes second in charge. There's a famine. Everyone's coming to Egypt to get grain. And so the brothers show up in Egypt to get grain. And in this, Joseph recognizes the brothers. The brothers don't recognize him. And he decides that he's going to test his brothers by putting the youngest brother, Benjamin's life, at stake. And what happens is, you remember Judah? In this moment, Judah steps in and says, I'll take his place. Again, learning from the bad mistakes that he made in the past and making a better mistake. Now, let's read this in Genesis 44, verse 32. It says, your servant became, and it's Judah talking here, your servant became accountable to my father for the boy. And he's talking about Benjamin. If I do not return to him, I will always bear the guilt for sinning against you, my father. Now, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave. So Judah's saying, I will take his place because he was about to imprison the boy, enslave the boy. So let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy. Let him go back with his brothers, for how can I go back to my father without the boy? I could not bear to see the grief that would overwhelm my father. So in this moment, you know what he's reliving? He's reliving the moment of the bad decision that he made to sell Joseph into slavery, how much it hurt his father, how much it hurt his family, how much of the consequences that he had to live with and deal with. And he was not willing to go through that again because he learned from the decisions that he made in the past and he's growing in them right now. Judah was willing to take Benjamin's place because of what happened to Joseph. You move on to Genesis 45, verse 4. And this is Joseph kind of just saying to them and revealing himself to him. He says, Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. And they came near. He says, I am Joseph, your brother, he said, the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be worried or angry with yourselves for selling me here because God, I love this, God sent me here ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all of Egypt. And so you look back, right? And this is awesome. And there's this reconciliation, this family reunion. There's this forgiveness that's taking place. And what we see is that in the midst of all of these decisions, God is working, bringing, you know, Joseph from a place of desolation and hurt and pain and rising him to power, bringing his brother from a place where he was jealous and harboring bitterness and hatred and selling his brother into slavery to a place where he was willing to give his own life. Here's the truth. When you make the wrong decision and you know you made the wrong decision, own up to it. Own up to it. Seek forgiveness and then grow from it. And that's the most important piece. Man, to not make the same decision, to not make the same mistake twice. Joseph wanted to test his brother and he did it and he passed. Listen, we won't always make the right decisions, but we can always make the choice to learn and to grow from the decisions that we make. You see, Judah's decision to sacrifice himself for Benjamin, guess what it led to? It led to forgiveness and ultimately salvation. You see, it was that willingness to make a decision that would cost him everything that led to forgiveness, that led to healing, that led to reconciliation with Joseph and also with the entire family. Guys, you know this. We're faced with crucial decisions every single day. And every decision that we make has this reverberating effect, right? Where it affects more than just us or just our immediate family or just our job or just our, it has this reverberating effect, whether we like to believe it or not. I mean, you think about some of the things that we had to deal with this year, whether to wear a mask or to not wear a mask. That decision to or not has a reverberating effect. The decision to quarantine yourself or not quarantine yourself, it has a reverberating effect. The decisions that we make or that we might be forced to make that'll cause us to miss out. You know, I'm sure you've heard of FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. The fear of missing out usually causes us to make the wrong decision. Right? And we try to rationalize and we try to, man, spin it a different way and say, oh, no, that's not what's going on. Everything is fine. And we do that and we make the wrong decision. And in that wrong decision, just because we didn't want to miss out, we end up affecting others, oftentimes negatively. Or maybe it's just the decision to hold a grudge versus offering forgiveness. Maybe it's the decision to respond in anger versus responding in patience. And I can go on and on, you know, about all the decisions that we have to make every single day. But what I want to ask you is this: what one decision could you make that would bring forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation in your life? What decision that could you make that could reconcile a broken relationship? What decision could you make that would right a wrong that you made in the past? What decisions could you make to stop an addiction, to forgive someone, to remove your pride and your ego, to let others in? What decisions could you make today to stop isolating yourself? And I'm not talking about isolation as far as COVID goes, but like isolating yourself because you are afraid or you don't want to be around people, but making a decision to join community, to be in community, to be around people. What decision could you make? Man, to stick up for a friend, or a family member, a brother or sister, a coworker? What decision could you make today to show compassion and understanding towards those who have a different view or different beliefs than you do? What one decision could you make today to just say, you know what, I'm sorry? What decision do you need to make today to right the wrong decisions that you made yesterday? And it's a heavy question. And I'm sure as you think about that, there are hurts, there are wrongs, there are decisions that are going through your mind that you're thinking about the effects that they had. I would say, man, make a decision today to make those things right. Learn from your mistake, learn from that decision, and move forward. I want to end with this, and that is this, that there is one decision that trumps all other decisions and will change your life here and for eternity, and that is the decision to give your life to Jesus. And here's what you need to know. Because Jesus, he made a decision, a very crucial decision, a decision that put him in harm's way, a decision to step down from heaven, to die on the cross for you and for me, to die for our sin, to die for our bad decisions, and to bring forgiveness and ultimately eternal life. And so you see, the decision to follow Jesus, that decision is going to ultimately help you make better or rather more godly decisions. That decision to follow Jesus is going to help you to make more decisions that benefit others over yourself. And in that decision to follow Jesus, to live for Jesus, to ask Jesus into your heart, guess what you will find there? You will find joy, you will find peace, you will find purpose, and you will find fulfillment. At the very beginning of my message, I talked about calling an audible, right? And how oftentimes in life we have to call audibles. Sometimes we don't want to, but we have to. And here's what's so great about the gospel. Don't miss this. You ready? God never had to call an audible. His plan was Jesus all along. He never had to. That was his plan. That's what he was leading to. And maybe today in your life, the plans you had, the decisions you made aren't working. And it's time for you to call an audible and choose Jesus. It's this one decision that could change your life forever. I wonder, will you make it today? Would you guys bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me? God, here's what we know. Throughout our life, we have made bad decisions. We have made good decisions. Those decisions have affected the trajectory of our life and continue to do so, but they have also affected those around us. Oftentimes, we rely on our own wisdom and our own knowledge and our past circumstances to make a decision. But I think today, if we want to make the best decisions, the most God-honoring decisions, the one that benefit others more than ourselves, it's going to start with this one decision to ask Jesus into our heart. And so if that's you today, if you're here, whether online or in person, and you've never made this decision to give your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do so right here and right now, right where you're sitting. Just say today, whether out loud or in your own, in your heart, say today, God, I am realizing today that there's one decision that I need to make, and that is the decision to follow your son, Jesus. I am believing, man, that he came down to heaven, that he was God's son, again, down from heaven, that he was God's son, and that he chose to live a human life and to die on a cross, not for his sins, but for our sins, for the mistakes that we've made and that we will make. And but he didn't stay dead. God, I believe today that he rose again 3 days later. And with that, he offers me the forgiveness, that I need in order to live in him, that I need to continue to move forward. And God, today I ask him for forgiveness. Man, I turn away from my past mistakes, my past regrets, those sins and those decisions that are haunting me. And I look forward today to living in you and with you. Come into my life today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I want to pray for everyone today. God, we are just so thankful and grateful that we get to be here in your presence today. God, we know that there are many things that led us here. We know that you are still working, that you are still moving. And though there may be something that seems bleak in our life or desolate in our life, you are still here. You are still working. God, let us continue as Christ followers to make every decision, to make every moment count, to make, man, just these God-honoring decisions that, man, benefit us, but also benefit others. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much, man, for joining us. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of service and Trunk or Treat. We'll see you soon.